So if you would, please stand, if you're able to stand, and turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. Just one verse today. So Psalm 119. And while I'm thinking about it, we have a cake today. And we try to celebrate all the birthdays between fifth Sundays. So mention it now so I won't forget it at the end. Because we don't want to take this cake back home. We have cake and cupcakes. So let me know when you're there by your amen.
Amen.
So verse 9. And the word of the Lord reads, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. And that's the New King James, but I want to read it in a few different versions. A New American Standard says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. ESV, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. And then NIV, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. So my subject today is living the right way. So living the right way. Father God, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, asking you to please speak to me as well as through me to you, to your people. For Father, we stand in the need of a word from you. For Lord, we know that your word is transforming. That we may be transformed and we may be different as we leave than we were when we came in. Lord, we pray that we're in your presence right now because only then are we transformed. That we may go out and tell a dying world about a living Jesus Christ. That will help us to live the right way. And we realize, Father, the only way we can live the right way is by taking heed according to your word. So Lord, speak now to your people. Father, my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. To God be the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So you may be seated. So living the right way. You know, as I was preparing for this message and speaking specifically to the youth, but more importantly to everybody, because we all are in need to hear the word of God. Not only do we need to hear the word of God, but we need to let the word of God hide in our heart. That we may live out the word of God. So in 1986, I actually came to Chattanooga, Tennessee from L.A., Lower Alabama, Troy, Alabama. Usually when I tell people from L.A., they're like, for real? Like, Lower Alabama, that's where I'm from, L.A. And I came up here to school, first time I ever had really been away from home. And my mother said, I'm going to pray for you. I mean, she didn't have the financial means to give me money as I left. But she thought in her heart that I've raised him as best I can to send him off. But I was a devil. Even in elementary school, I would always get in trouble. I mean, believe it or not, I was a big kid. I was a bully. I mean, I was always just about the biggest kid in my classroom. Always. And I remember telling this guy, Michael Jordan, of course, it wasn't the Michael Jordan that we all know. But it was a little bitty guy. I told him I would put his head in the toilet. And Mr. Bell found out and he beat my behind. I still remember that. After all these years. But I was constantly in trouble. In trouble. In trouble. Really not thinking about tomorrow, next week, next month. I was just thinking about right now, just trying to make it through right now. My parents were never married. They stayed together for 18 years. And my dad was an alcoholic. And I saw him constantly beat my mother and beat my mother and beat my mother. There were nights that we couldn't sleep because he was up all night. So he kept everybody else up all night. And then you had to go to school, even in, out of that environment, trying to learn to the best of your ability. Thinking elementary or where we had primary and then elementary school, and I was diagnosed with a learning disability. I don't really know if I had one. It's just because I just didn't care. I did not care. But God had his hand on me because he had a plan for me. But just living any kind of way. And I'm sure some of you probably can relate to this. When I was a ninth grade going to the 10th grade, that summer I met a girl. And she was going to a different high school than I was going to, but I was bound and determined to go to that school. So I'm like, I am going. My mother said, no. I said, I'm going. And I started walking away from home. And she said, go get that food. But eventually she relented, allowed me to go live with my dad, because if I live with my dad, I could go to this school. And the girl and I stayed together for 1 week. But I went through all of that to get there. But once again, God had a plan for me. Because when I got there, I started playing football. And then football led into a football scholarship. And that's why I'm here in Chattanooga on that. But when I was with my dad, I could do whatever I wanted to do. My cousin and I would go hang out. We would drink, smoke drugs, all of this. And it was normal behavior for the group I hung with. And then, of course, coming to college, the same thing. You got 18-year-olds influencing other 18-year-olds. First time away from home. And then you had older people, 21, 22, and they were worse than the 18-year-olds. I remember when I came up on my visit here to UTC, and they were telling me, you can't have girls in the room. You can't have alcohol. You can't have drugs. And I'm sitting there like, okay. And the next thing the guy asked me, do you want a beer? So you go through all these things because this is what you're supposed to do. However, this is the real life. And young people, your parents are telling you what you are supposed to do. However, you're going to go into a situation where people are going to say, hey, I know your parents did this, 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 or however. Here you are. And you're going to be in a situation where you're going to have to make a choice. And how do you make sure you make the right choice? How do you make sure you make the right choice? You have to know what the right choice is in order to make it. And it's found in the Word of God. And the Word of God say, how can a young man cleanse his ways? And that word how is much more than just how. It meaning, why should you? Why should you want to cleanse your ways? Why should you? If you are born again, believing the Lord Jesus Christ, you want to please him. That's why. You want to make your parents proud of you. Your parents don't want you going away anywhere. Whether it's off in the college, football camp, visiting another person in a store, it does not matter. And acting the way that you know is wrong. It's not like you don't know. You can't come and say, well, I didn't know smoking drugs was wrong. Really? I didn't know smoking cigarettes was wrong. Really? I didn't know having sex is wrong. And there is a tremendous amount of pressure on you to deviate from the Word of God. But you have a choice to make. And not only does it mean why, but it means by what means. And what means is the second part is the answer to this question. The Word of God, that is the only means. That's it. And not only does it ask why and what, but how long? How long do I have to do this? Until you die. It's a marathon. And unlike the marathon here, you know exactly what the finish line is, right? What is it? 26.2 miles. So you know where you start and you know where to finish. You know everything you have to go through. But life is not like that. 1 minute, everything could be going fine. Everything could be going fine. Everything could be going fine. And all of a sudden, everything breaks loose. You didn't plan for this. However, you have to deal with it. And how do you deal with it? Based on the Word of God. Every human situation, every human condition is talked about in the Word of God. Everything. Everything. People say, I read the Bible, but it's boring. You're not reading the Bible. Everything you can ever think of, somebody in Scripture had to deal with. Everything. Now, we're not saying Facebook, but there's a principle behind that. Why do you go on Facebook? Because a lot of people, we need to be completed. There is something missing in my heart and my mind. Therefore, I'm looking. And here's another way to look. And people put ungodly stuff on Facebook. And then the next time you see them post, praise the Lord. I mean, that's schizophrenic. But who's the real person? I mean, I have a niece and I just look at her stuff and like, goodness gracious. One niece says she had a conversation with the Lord. And she said her little boy, when he dreams, he receives messages from the angels. It's like, what in the world? What book are you reading? Where is this? She's confused. She's absolute confused. How long until you die? And how often? Every moment of your life. Every moment. There is never a time when you can relax. Never. Never, ever, ever. Because when you relax, it's going to creep in. It's going to creep in. And the next thing you know, how can you listen to ungodly music and are not allowed to impact you? That's the one thing that it's hard to guard against, music. Because you hear that music and they attach those lyrics and it's getting in. The music's bringing it in, and the next thing you know, you're singing along with it, saying ungodly stuff. And you probably don't even realize it. Because I try to listen to some music I used to listen to. I'm like, goodness gracious, I can't listen to that. And I'm sure you don't know this, but Ghetto Boys. I'm sure the old school know who the Ghetto Boys are, right? N.W.A. I mean, it was bad then. Some of that stuff was ungodly. But we just immersed ourselves into it. And then when? Every waking moment. Every waking moment. Every waking moment. So you have to understand how. Then can a young man. So I don't want to lose any of you based on that young man. Young man really means from infancy to adolescence. Young person. Not a young man. A young believer, a young Christian, a child of God. So it includes everybody. Everybody need to make sure they stay pure. Now, the only way you can stay pure is that you're pure in the first place, right? The Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. Last week, Elder Terman said, all have sinned in Adam, right? We all died in Adam. We all died. Since Adam and Eve, everybody's been born dead spiritually. So literally, as spiritually speaking, you are a dead person walking around. You're dead outside of the grace, the mercy of Jesus Christ. You're dead. The Bible said Christ came and died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners, God sent his only begotten son to die for us. So don't fool yourselves. If you have not been born again, you're still dead spiritually. You're dead. Genesis chapter 6. God judged the world. 6:5. And then 6:8 said, but Noah found favor with God. Now, Noah didn't do anything to find favor. God, from his side, chose to enter into time, disrupt the life of Moses to save Noah. To save Noah. I keep getting them twisted. Moses wrote it, but it was about Noah. But Noah didn't do anything to be saved. He was just like the wickedness of everybody else. Everybody else. But it was the blood of Jesus Christ that cleansed us. And then we are taken out of darkness into his marvelous light. And now he's sanctifying us, getting the darkness out of us. And if you don't think you still have darkness in you, listen to yourself sometimes. Crawl into your mind and look at the big screen on your thoughts. And you can see the darkness that is still there. And God has called you mother and father to raise your kids. And you have to realize that you make mistakes. But you may say and or do something in front of your child that you may have to go back and apologize. Because you have to raise your kids up in the admonition of the Lord. Right? Your kids are watching you whether you realize it or not. If you don't say something to them, and they'll call you on it, hopefully respectfully, but they will call you on it. And you don't ever want to tell your kids to do as I say and not as I do. I'm sure many parents, my dad used to smoke cigarettes. I hated cigarettes. But he would say, go and light this for me. I would hate that. Hate it. However, he's my dad. What am I going to do? I mean, he was crazy. So what am I going to do? I'm not going to do it? I don't think so. But I did it. We used to sell alcohol from our home. My sister and I, she's almost 3 years older than I am. And we would pour it. If my parents were not at home, people would come and want to buy, we would pour it. And we started to drink. I can't remember how old I was when I started to drink. I'm talking 11 or 12. Maybe even younger than that. The first time I got drunk, I think it was on Thunderbird. And I'm sure you're familiar with Thunderbird. I got sick. But yet and still, I kept drinking. It doesn't make sense. But we have to make sure we're telling our kids what to do and then show them what to do based on the Word of God. And we have to make sure it's on the Word of God because there is a way that seemeth right unto man. It could seem right. Well, I'm patterning my life after people in the church, but if the people in church are not doing it God's way, it's going to end in death. And death is separation at some point. There's going to be a separation. But it has to be based on the Word of God. Everything we do, we need to search it out in Scripture. Everything. Don't take my word for it. Look at the Scripture. And it depends on how mature you are. If you come and ask me a question like, okay, go and search it out. Now, here's my number. If you need me, call me. But search it out because I want to teach you how to fish. I don't want to fish for you. Because if we keep giving you fish, you're going to keep coming back depending on that individual. And then you're going to become so dependent, they could tell you anything. And they could lead and guide you in falsehood. And you know, people in the church will tell you wrong. Now, sometimes by mistake, but other times on purpose. Paul wrote Timothy to say, in the last days, people will leave sound doctrine to go to church that's going to scratch them where they itch and tickle their ears. And these are people in the church. So you have to make sure it's sound doctrine based on the Word of God. So once Christ cleansed your way, once Christ make you clean based on the Word of God, and now it's up to you to maintain. You have to maintain. First of all, you have to read the Word of God. You have to read the Word of God because it's your way that you're trying to clean. Your way. I can't clean it for you. Because Christ said it's so serious as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Meaning say, if you look at a woman in lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart, and we live out our hearts. That's the reason Psalmist in 119:11 said, I've hidden your words in my heart that I may not sin against you. Out of the heart flows the issues of life. Love with all your heart, your mind, all your heart. We live out of our heart. So whatever's in your heart, I can tell what's in your heart based on what you say. Christ said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So just listen. Just listen. People can fake it for a little while, but eventually it's going to come out. Now, I used to work at McKee Foods. I worked in the transportation department. So, and I would be the guy that a driver would come in, want to get hired. I would actually take him out on the road and do a road test. So doing the road test, of course, they could drive. But it was much more than that. It was their attitude. Because this person was going to represent the organization. So I would just get them relaxed. Of course, there are certain questions you can't ask. You can't ask about family. You can't ask certain things. It'd be a violation of the Equal Rights Amendment. But I would just get them relaxed. And stuff would just come out. It's like, goodness gracious. This one white guy used the N-word. Of course, he was talking about a friend he used to listen to. We used to listen to his music. And they were like, my goodness, you don't know how I would have responded. But you just blurted it out. Like, nevertheless, I recommend we not hire him. We don't need to hire him. But just get around believers. Especially over a meal. If you sit and eat with somebody and people start to eat, the guard go down and they start talking. But, and you will find out what's in their heart. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But we live out of our heart. And we have to get the word in our heart. And how do you get the word in your heart? First of all, you appropriate the word of God. So what does that mean? Meaning you take ownership of it. You believe what the word says. I'm going to grab these truths and put them in my heart, and then I can know how to live. So you have to appropriate the words of God, and then you have to abide in the word of God. John chapter 15, Jesus Christ is the vine. We're the branch, and we have to stay connected to the vine in order to fruit be produced through us. Now, I've yet to see a branch produce fruit on its own. Have you? Can you just take a branch from a vine and just disconnect it, put it over here, and it continue to produce fruit? That's not going to happen. But just like you, the child of God, you need to be connected to the Son of God. That God the Father be glorified by your fruit producing. And while you connected with the Lord Jesus Christ, he is going to cut away some things. He's going to prune you. Now, that pruning process, it could be some friends. Because people come in our lives, some of them just for a moment, others for a grade level or high school, but there are others in our life God has put there for eternity. But the thing that gets us twisted is that we confuse them. We think that person there just for a season is there for an eternity, and we just grab hold of them, and when God tries to pry them out of our hands, we don't want to let them go. But they're not good for you. Look around at the older people. I didn't mean to emphasize older that way. But the older people. But they have been through some things. And they can tell you. They will tell you, don't come this way. Please don't come this way, young people. Please don't. And they will show you scars. And you can't see all the scars. Some of them are internal. And they're there forever. We've all been through some things. And we don't want you to come this way. We don't want you to come this way. Find yourself in a situation that you never intended to be. Waking up in a place that, my goodness, how in the world did I end up here? Said I would never get pregnant. See other people get pregnant. And the next thing you know, you're pregnant and telling other young ladies, don't come this way. So I never end up in jail, and you in jail, and people coming by and you telling them, don't come this way. People leaving the abortion clinic said they would never, ever do an abortion. But all of a sudden they find themselves in a situation and the man is married and he's putting pressure on you. So you're going to have to get rid of this baby. Or the parents. And this could be Christian parents. So if you have this baby, what's going to happen to you? You can't go to school and you can't do this and you can't do that. And you start weighing your options like, you know what? It's better to terminate this pregnancy. But they never intended that. But you find yourself in a situation because you deviated from the word of God. And you end up in a place that you never intended to be. Never. However, you're there. And it's too late. But it's almost just like the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus is out by his gate. And the dogs would come and lick his sores. And the rich man would do nothing for him. And all of a sudden they die. And the rich man is telling Abraham to send Lazarus over here. Let him just dip his finger in the water and cool my parched tongue. He said, okay, you can't do that, but send somebody back and tell my brothers don't come this way. So we're telling you young people, don't come this way. I know you're probably thinking now, okay, he's telling don't come this way. He doesn't know what I'm going through. I'm strong enough. And we all have that same story. And we've all been there. I'm strong enough. It'll never happen to me. People have AIDS right now, not on purpose, but they put themselves in a situation where they expose themselves to this, and now they're on the other side. We're trying to keep you from never getting on this side. Stay on that side. Stay on that side. And that's what this psalmist is telling this young person. How are you going to keep your way cleansed? And your way is the path you're taking. And of course, if you're on a straight and narrow path, that's the path. Our goal is to keep you on the path, not getting off the path. But when you get off the path, it's sinking sand. And you think it's going to take you 1 degree and it could take you 100 degrees. And only God himself can bring you back. That's where the Holy Spirit to convict us and allow us to turn back to him and confess our sins. He's faithful and just and willing to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So all we have to do is cry out to God, Lord, have mercy on me. And he will. He desires to have mercy on his kids. But my desire is for you never to get off the path. Because once you get off the path, it's easier to get off the path the next time. You're creating habits. And when you create habits, it actually affects you physiologically in your brain. You know, people do certain things and they create habits. And their muscles start to memorize these habits. Talk to people that are smoking for 30, 40 years. They never intended to smoke that long. And it's almost impossible for them to stop. People are alcoholics. They didn't intend to be alcoholics. So we're trying to keep you from taking that first drink. Smoking that first joint. Because once you start, gosh, you get on a slippery slope. And you don't know where it's going to end. And as you're going down, and God, if you're saved, you're saved. You can't lose your salvation. But you don't know what you're going to have to go through once you get on that slippery slope. And then you're going to tell other people, don't come this way. Don't come this way. God has cleansed you by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we have to just maintain it. So we have to abide in the word of God. And let the word of God abide in us. And the word of God says, ask what we will. As long as we abide in the word and the word abide in us, we have free access. We can ask God whatever we want and he will grant it because it's going to be according to his will. So you have to appropriate the word of God. Make it your own. Claim it. And you claim it by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the substance is understands. You standing on the word of God. Just like Noah was standing on the word of God when God told him to build an ark because it was going to rain. It had never rained. But you have to trust God. God said it's going to rain. Then I'm going to act based on that reality. I'm going to build an ark. And that rain was so real to Noah. It motivated him every single day for 120 years. It was not like it was for a week, a month, for a year, 10 years. And that's what we're building our life in Jesus Christ, day by day, brick by brick, for however long it takes until it's complete. So we want to build our life on a solid rock, which is Jesus Christ. And in the meantime, the storms are going to come. The storms are going to try to blow you off the path, but you have to have your mind made up. Nothing is going to move me. Nothing. Because greater he that is in me than is he that is in the world. You have everything you need. Everything you need to stay on the path. Because if you choose to be off the path, please talk to some of the older saints. Talk with them. Get them in a quiet place. So now, what that preacher's saying, is it really true? Is it really true? Because we look around here, we don't know what people have gone through. It's been said, I can tell your glory, but I can't tell your story. looking at you. Everybody seemed like they have it together. But follow some of these people home. And they catch in hell. But God is faithful. And he's just. He said his grace is sufficient. So you just hold on to the grace of God. Hold on. And don't let go. Because he will never let you go. But you have to stay on the path. Stay on the path. Stay on the path. Abiding in the word of God. And your fruit will be produced through you. But there's going to be some pruning. There's going to be some cutting away. And once again, God's going to take some people away. Take you out of certain situations. Maybe have to change schools. Change the people you hang around with. But definitely you want to stay in the word of God. And you should not want to hold on to anybody that God tells you to let go. When God tells you to let them go, let them go. You're going to have to unfriend some people. In school, young people, if you sit in an area where people just constantly talking, 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 you need to remove yourself. Now, if you have assigned seats, make sure you get it okay with the teacher. Don't just remove yourself so where the preacher told me to move myself. Because I'm not sitting in the class. You're sitting in the class. You want to make sure the teacher's okay and not only say, okay, I'm going to move, but tell the teacher why. Now, well, if I do that, I'm going to get my little friend in trouble. If you stay there, you're going to get in trouble. So you have a decision to make. Well, I can handle this. You're much weaker than you think you are. Because you think you're strong. But you're not. Satan masquerades as an angel of light. So this person can be there. Oh, yeah, sit by me. Everything's going well. Yes, date me. Everything's going well. And young women. I used to be a young man. I would tell young women what I thought they wanted to hear. To get them in a position where even if they said no, no did not mean no. Because once you cross the threshold into a room, you said yes. And young people, be extremely careful, especially young ladies. Even if you say yes to him, in essence, you could say yes to them. Because these guys are looking, especially at the beginning of the semester. They are waiting for freshmen. They are waiting. We used to hang out in the student center, not go to class on the first day. Just to look. Okay, and you could tell the freshmen. Can I get a witness? And you just waited. Befriend him. Oh, he's so nice. Okay. He's a wolf in sheep's clothing. And be careful if you decide to drink anything at a party. If you put it down, don't go back. That's wisdom. And wisdom is from the word of God. And wisdom is the word of God applied through living. So people can tell you, you're not the first person to ever go to college. You're not the first person who's going to find yourself in a situation that you're going to find yourself. Talk with somebody. You know, it's easy when people going into business, they want to find a person that's been there, done that, to mentor them. Life should be the same way. If somebody, a follower of Jesus Christ, say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. What are your thoughts? They should point you to the word of God, where the word of God says this. But it is serious. It's a mind field. And you don't know where the minds are. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Foolishness! Young people! Don't take this offensively, but you're foolish. You're foolish. You don't know what you don't know. And what you know, you think it's enough to make it. It's not. You need to know where you need to get biblical information from. It's found in the word of God. You need to talk with people, godly people. Once you get to where you're going, you need to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. Every building that has church on is not necessarily a Bible teaching church. And if you don't know, call your pastor, call me, and we'll research and find out. And if we need to, we can come up there, have a conversation with the pastor. And if it's a woman pastor, no. No. As soon as we walk in, elder, no. Thank you. Nice to meet you. And no, we out of here. Then, of course, go to the website. But you need some scripture, Bible teaching, Bible preaching. Because you keep your way cleansed by heed, taking heed according to the word of God. So you have to appropriate it. You have to hold on to it. Take ownership of it. And you have to abide in the word of God. You have to read the word of God. You have to study the word of God. You have to memorize the word of God. You have to meditate on the word of God. Because when you read and study, you get it in your head. You meditate it, you get it in your heart. Because I said you live out of your heart. And you need to get the word of God in your heart. And then you need to apply the word of God. You need to seek opportunities to apply the word of God. Everything you do and or say need to be based on the word of God. The word of God said, let every man be a liar and God be true. I mean, if they're really not talking out of the word of God, they are lying. Because the truth is a person, which is Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. But the truth is found in the word of God. And what will the word of God do to you? First of all, the word of God will show you the standards of purity by which you have to live. Philippians 3:15-16 says this. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, as are being perfected, being matured, have this attitude. And if anything you have different attitude, God will reveal this also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard by which we have been obtained. So God has obtained us to live by the standard of God. God is going to use the word of God to sanctify us, to purify us. And if we're not exposed to the word of God on a regular basis, how will the word of God be used to purify us? You know, every now and then I want to watch a football game. But right now, which is good, because they're playing these old games. Even when I know the outcome, I still want to watch the game. But now I'm an Alabama fan, and I still can't watch the Clemson-Alabama game anymore. I just break my heart, so I can't do that one. However, I'm willing to give up 2, 3, 4. Some days I watch football all day long. Starts at 11 a.m. and at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, I'm still watching football. I mean, I like to just flick between games. I don't want to watch a commercial. I want to just go from game to game to game to game. Now, if I'm putting all this time effort into football, which is not going to make anything to me, why should I not use that time to read the word of God, to study the word of God, to memorize the word of God, to meditate on the word of God? Which is more important? God said, let your light shine. So at every opportunity, I need to let my light shine. What does that mean, young people, let my light shine? What does that mean to you, us older people, not you, but us older people, to let your light shine? Meaning you have to glow and yield to the Spirit of God, be filled by the Spirit of God, be controlled by the Spirit of God, that the Word of God shines through you, that people may see your good works. So you're doing something that is so different than all the world that they know there is something different about you, and they can ask you and you can have an opportunity to give a defense of the hope that which is in you. You can tell people, this is why I do what I do based on the word of God. And let me give you some nuggets from the word of God. But if you're not spending time, because we have time, we have the same amount of time. It's what you do with your time. But it's so easy to get caught up in the world, distracted by the world. But you have a choice. Where am I going to spend my time? So God's word also shows us the reason for purity. Psalm 18:30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of God is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. So the word of God is perfect. The Word of God is a mirror. You holding up the mirror. How often do you look in the mirror? Ladies, I see you have your glory on this morning, right? You stand in the mirror and you put your glory, you get your glory together, right? And I'm sure most of you probably look in a mirror every day, every single day. And why do you look in the mirror? To see if it's all together. Now, how dare you get up in the morning, your face just all jacked up. You look in the mirror, you recognize like, shh, I'm going out anyway. But the Word of God is a mirror for our soul. We look in this mirror. We read this. And God's not only, the Bible not only is read by us, but it reads us. And it reveals to us where we are. How often do you do an assessment of your spiritual walk in the Lord Jesus Christ? How long have you been saved? How long have you been walking with the Lord Jesus Christ? How often do you really take a spiritual inventory, an assessment, to see where you are? I'm sure most of you that are working on jobs, you have a performance evaluation. And you find out exactly what you need to do to get that raise, right? If your raise based on your performance evaluation, like, okay, what do I need to do to get 5%, 6%, 7%? So how often do we go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I'm at 30% fruit production right now. What do I need to do to get to 60? What do I need to do to get to 100%? Because that's what I want to do. Are you okay at 30%? Well, Lord, I'm in the kingdom. I'm all right. I'm just going to cruise right on in, coast right in. No, no, no. Your testimony is at stake. And then you will start to compromise. Because how you know you're going to stay at 30? You don't know what it took to get there. So how you know, well, I'm just going to do enough just to get by? No. People are watching you. The Bible said older women teach younger women. And if they look at you and you're doing it, they think it's okay. Older men teach younger men. But we're in this together. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, the rest of us are suffering. We're suffering because you're not standing on the wall. But you have to really, really, really find out exactly where we are. 30, 60, 100. But your desire should be 100%, right? Or are you okay where you are? Well, I'm coming to church every Sunday. So what? Well, I'm coming some Wednesdays. So what? The reality of the situation, you live outside of these walls. You live outside of these walls. And that's where you go to do ministry. You come here to get equipped. And once you're equipped, it's up to you to go out and do ministry. Now, it would have been foolish. Told you I came up on a football scholarship. If we come to the huddle, okay, the play is called, and we just stay in the huddle. We're going to continue to get delay of games. Delay of games. Delay of games. They will not have mercy on us. They're going to keep throwing the flag. They're going to keep throwing the flag. But brothers and sisters, the young people are watching you. They are watching you and they're going back home. Watching you. And if you're doing something, just because mom and dad tell them to do something, they're like, yes, mom and dad, out of respect, we'll do it while we're in your presence. But once we leave your presence, we operate on a new order. How often have you seen people bring clothes to school to change? They go away from home dressed one way. As soon as they get to school, they change clothes. And I'm sure they would just absolutely want to melt away if their parents showed up and... You didn't leave home that way. But guess what? God is always watching us. I mean, we come to church, we act a certain way. But God is always watching. It's just like the kids at home, they act a certain way. But when they go out, they're acting totally different. God's word shows us the blessing of purity and gives us an incentive to make the necessary sacrifices. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of scornful. But his delight, her delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And what is the outcome? What is the outcome when you meditate day and night on the word of God? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. And whatever he or she does, it will prosper. When you abide in the word of God, it's just like you are a tree planted by the rivers of water. And the great thing about the tree planted by the water, the roots go down and find the water source. And the water source never goes away. When you abide in the word of God, there is always nutrients going to the believer because we're connected with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is self-contained. He does not depend on anybody. And if we connected with him, we'll be just like that tree. And in due season, fruit will be produced if we do not grow weary in our well-doing. Because what we sow, we shall reap. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap fleshly things. If we sow to the Spirit of God, we're going to reap spiritual things. But once again, it's a choice. And brothers and sisters, I want to confront each and every one of you. It is your choice. Nobody here can make the choice for you. But it's your choice. Your mom can't make it for you. Your dad can't make it for you. You have to stand flat-footed and say, I will follow God or not. And look at our school system. Look at the environment in which we live. Chattanooga has become ruthless. I mean, people are dying almost every day. It seems that way. Of course, we know it's not true, but it seems that way. I mean, parents are leaving their kids in cars. People are stealing cars with kids in them. People are getting shot just about every single day. And we have to live in this world. And if we make choices, we could easily put ourselves in a situation where we could be in the crossfire. But we have to abide and make sure we're standing on truth. And even if you die, where will you go? Because one day, death is going to knock at your door. Death is going to send you a text. Death is going to Facebook you. Going to send you a tweet. And you have to answer it. Because the word of God in Hebrews 9:27 said, it's been appointed to man once to die. And then the judgment. And you cannot cancel that appointment. Some appointments now you can call and, you know, try to get there early or extend it. And we don't know when that time is coming. But we know we're marching to that day. We're marching to that day. And that day has already been appointed. But in the meantime, we want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Then God's word shows us how to be born again. John chapter 3, Nicodemus came to the Lord. And Nicodemus was a teacher. And Jesus told him, Nick, you have to be born again. He said, but what do you mean? Do I have to, old man like me, I have to go back into my mother's womb? And I could almost see Jesus like, you are teaching, you don't know any better than this? As if the second time would make you pure. So no, that which of flesh is of flesh. But you must be born from above. Spirit. Because that from the Spirit is Spirit. And God's word will show us how to be empowered to live out this life. Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 23. God's word is a refuge against temptation, given a way of escape in the season of an enticement. You will be tempted. It's guaranteed. It's absolutely guaranteed. Your flesh, the world, Satan, they know you so well, they know exactly what it takes to get you. Now, my temptation might not necessarily be your temptation. But brothers and sisters, don't ever look down your nose at other people because they give in to something that you think you wouldn't. Because your temptation is your temptation. And if it's not in front of you, it's coming. But God has given with the temptation a way of escape. But you have to look for it. It's just like you're in a plane and it's going down. You can eject. Eject. Don't go down with the plane. Because God has given you a way of escape. Then God's word is a mirror that helps us to see where we are. James. But we have to continue to look in the mirror. And look in the mirror. But sometimes we don't want to look in the mirror because we don't like what we see. But keep looking in the mirror. Not only just to look in the mirror to hear the word of God, but you want to be a doer. Because if not, you're getting farther and farther away from Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus was being led from the Garden of Gethsemane. And Peter was following far behind. And that's what's going to happen to us. If we don't look in the mirror and look at it and abide by the word of God and practice the word of God and apply the word of God, we're going to keep falling farther and farther behind. And we know what happened to Peter. Peter get there, John was there to get him in, and he was warming himself by the fire, and a little bitty girl. And Peter's a big, rough guy. This is a fisherman. She said, "You were with him." And he said, "No, I wasn't with him." Then somebody else come along and said, "Peter, you were with him." "No, I wasn't with him." "Sure you were with him. Your dialect gives you away. You're a Galilean." "No, I don't know the man." And the book of Luke say Jesus turned and looked at Peter when Peter denied him. So every time we choose not to do the word of God, Christ is looking at us. Looking at us. In our heart, we know before we say yes, we should say no. We say yes anyway, as if we're doing it in the dark. The book of Hebrews chapter 4 says, regardless of what time of day it is, regardless of what time of night it is, it's just like it's broad daylight and Christ sees everything we do. Not only what we do, but what is in our heart. So man look on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You know, you hear a lot of people say, "Well, God knows my heart." Yes, he does. As if your heart is different than what you're doing. No, God knows your heart. But we have to be willing to bow to the word of God. But the word of God has whatever we need. Everything we need is found in the word of God. But now, we look in the word of God. We see that we're wretched and undone like Isaiah when he came into the presence of God. Isaiah chapter 6. We can confess our sins because he's faithful and just and willing to forgive us for all our sins. Because the question is asked, how can a young man cleanse his ways? When we fall short, God will cleanse us and put us right back on the straight and narrow path and allow us to continue to run on. And we have to run looking unto Jesus Christ, which is the author and the finish of our faith. We have to look unto him. And we have to realize, regardless of what we're going through, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. So don't let circumstances condemn you. Don't let people condemn you when you fall short. Don't let that happen, because God has not condemned us. But people want to keep you in jail. You can't tell everybody everything, because they will lock you in jail and won't let you out. God has forgiven me. But they're like, "Man, I can't believe sister, brother, so-and-so did that." So you have to be discerning. Listen to the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God prompts you to share, share. Don't worry about what people are going to say, because some people are going to like, "I can't believe." But let's look in their closet and see what skeletons are in their closet. Well, some people that have stuff in their closet, they're more condemning than other people. Think about David, when Nathan brought David's attention to what he had done. About a little parable, said an old rich man and an old man had a young sheep, and a rich man got the little lamb. And David said, "This guy should need to be killed." But then he dropped the hammer. "You're the man." And then all of a sudden, "Lord, have mercy on me." But he wanted what he was unwilling to give. So we should never have that attitude. When people, young people come and ask us, or young people caught in some stuff, we have to forgive them, because if we don't forgive them, God will not forgive us. So we have to forgive. We have to forgive because we want God's forgiveness for us. So in order to keep your way pure, you have to heed the word of God. And that's present tense. We have to always heed the word of God. We have to. We have to appropriate the word of God. Take ownership, make the promises mine, because they are mine. Because positionally, we're in heaven. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 6. We're seated in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. And then we have to abide in the word of God. We have to read, study, memorize, meditate on the word of God. And then we have to apply the word of God. Because we're building our houses, brothers and sisters. either on sinking sand or on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. It is entirely up to you. Because Christ died for us. Christ died for us. And the word of God say, in Revelation, we see the lamb that was slain. You know that Thomas wasn't there when he came to the upper room and he said, I won't believe it until I see the hands or his side. And when he got there, he showed the scars. And I will close with this story. So there was a young boy and he was out playing and his mother told him not to get too close to the pond. And she was up on a tree with the smaller kid. And the next thing she knows, this kid was just screaming, help, help, help. And an alligator had come out of the pond and grabbed him by his leg and was dragging him back into the pond. Of course, the woman saw it and she just went as hard as she could and grabbed the little boy by his arms and just pulling, pulling, pulling. By the grace of God, the alligator opened his mouth, tried to get a better grip, and she pulled him out. And of course, the alligator went back in the water. Years later, every now and then, people will hear about this little boy and they would want to see you. Let me see what alligator had you. And usually, he would wear short pants and long sleeve shirts. And they said, oh, this is what alligator had you? I said, well, yeah. I said, man, you walk around like you're proud of that. He said, no, I'm not proud of that. And he pulled up his sleeve. He said, and this is where his mother grabbed him. She left scars. He said, I'm proud of these scars because it was these scars that saved me. And that's what Jesus Christ can show, these scars. And when we get there, we're going to look at these scars because Christ's going to say, look at my hands, look at my side, look at my feet. I did all this for you. And all I'm asking you to do is to take heed according to my word that your way will be made pure. And every opportunity we need to go and purify our way by staying on a straight and narrow path. And when we veer off, and we will, even on our best day, we commit enough sin to go to hell. But the gift of God is free. So we can just turn back to the Lord. So Lord, forgive me. And Jesus Christ has the scars. Say, these scars are for that individual's sins. Yesterday, today, and always. We're covered by his blood. In Jesus Christ. So Father God, we thank you for your word. We pray and ask you, Lord Jesus, to please help us to live.